The book of Colossians, and we'll go to chapter 3 once again, and looking at our next section in this aspect of learning our place in the home. We've looked at the place of the wife in fellowship of the husband. We looked at the husband in fellowship of Christ and also loving his wife. And now we're going to look today on children. You say, oh, good. Well, maybe not so. Amen. If you have children, I want to talk a little bit about that today, how you can help them in growing in obedience as well. But as well, if you're a child here today, hopefully you'll be listening and taking this sermon very seriously. The Lord is speaking to us today. Amen. I don't know if you regard yourself as a child. Sometimes when you get 17 years old, also I'm no longer underneath. Well, you are. Amen. And I want to talk about that today because we think there's a magic number that we hit. It's not mentioned in Scripture that we hit that all of a sudden I don't have to listen anymore. Amen. And I would explain some things about that today as well. Yeah. All right. And so let's look at Colossians chapter 3. And let's go back to verse 17. We'll read 17 to 20 or to 21. It says, and whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands, as it is fit in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives, and be not bitter against them. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. Fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. Amen. Let's pray. Father, I do ask you, Lord, to give me strength to preach this message this morning. And I pray, Lord, it would do a good work in all of our hearts. And Lord, maybe we're here, we don't have children, or maybe we're already an adult. But Lord, I pray you'd use something from this message to help each one of us grow in our Christian life today. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so our society today is pretty messed up. Have you noticed?
Yeah.
Amen. And the biggest thing of our society is they don't understand the concepts that I've been preaching in Colossians here. They don't like it. They, in fact, they're trying to, I think, under Satan's rulership, flip it upside down, where it's God, the husband, the wife, and the children. He's trying to make it the children, the wife, the husband, and God's at the bottom. Well, anytime you ever upset the structure, you always put God on the bottom. Amen? If you put God on the top, that means you're in structure. All right? And so we need to understand this. And the reason, and they've convinced us of this, because they've brought in certain philosophies that because we don't challenge them or don't bring them to light of the Scripture, we just swallow them. You know? That if you have to submit to anybody, somehow you're less important. You know? You're less significant. Well, the Scriptures are totally opposed to that idea. And I'm going to prove that today once again. And so what the society wants to do is put our children in a position where they no longer have to operate through their parents. And the reason why that is because they want to control many times, not all of them, but a large portion of this world system want to control the mindset of your children. Amen? They want them to learn the worldly philosophies, not the Christian philosophies. And so, fortunately, we're living in a day where we still have freedoms to homeschool, we have freedoms to teach our children, we have freedoms to make choices for our children. But we're living in a dangerous age, very dangerous age, and we cannot take it for granted. And that's why I can't hold back punches on this, you know. I'm just going to say it for what it is, because whatever I say, most people listening will only take it half that far. Amen? And so let me just put it out there, and then maybe it gives you something to chew on as you make your decisions for life. Amen? And so this is a problem today when we allow children to rule the home. And in many ways it's happening, even in Christian homes. And children ought never to be ruling your home. Amen. They always ought to be under rule. now that this is one of the philosophies, because we look at submission as some kind of a weakness. But you got to remember something. The word authority doesn't mean just I'm the boss over you. The word authority means protection. Yeah. When you're operating under authority, you're operating under protection. But if you are not, you've removed yourself from protection. Amen? And so what Satan's final goal is to keep our children unprotected by fathers being negligent, mothers being negligent, by fathers and mothers, not leading them in the way they ought to go and things like that, and swallowing the world's philosophies, because the world's philosophies go contrary to the scripture. You know that. That's why the Bible says friendship with the world is enmity with God. You know, that means you become the enemy of God when you become the friend of the world. And it's not just talking about the world like Banff and the mountains, and isn't that wonderful? That's wonderful. That's creation. But the world we're talking about is the system. The system that has been developed that this world runs by. Amen. That the Bible says it, but is it that important, right? It is. And the first thing I just want to bring out is this, that Jesus set the example for children to obey.
Yeah.
This is important. In Luke chapter 2, verse 48, this is on the heels of Jesus when they were in Jerusalem and the family left, they started looking around and Jesus was gone. Now you talk about a parent, you know, freaking out, you know, yeah, when your child isn't there. And so they went back and they found him. And he was in the temple talking to the Pharisees and to the teachers and the scribes. And the scribes were all marveling over this 12-year-old boy having all this knowledge and understanding that they themselves didn't even have, you know. And so Jesus was doing what he felt he needed to do. Now they found them. And that's where we're catching up to here in this passage in verse 48, chapter 2. It says, and when they saw him, they were amazed. And his mother said unto him, son, why hast thou dealt with us? Behold, thy father and I have sought thee sorrowing. Makes sense. You would do the same thing. Amen. And he said unto them, how is it that ye sought me? Wist ye not that I must be about my father's business? By the way, these are the first literal words of Jesus in the Bible. These are the first words that are recorded in the scripture. Now, if you know anything about Bible study, at the principle of the law of first mention, usually the principle of the law of first mention reveals to you a lot about what that particular subject is saying throughout the whole Bible. And so the first words of Christ are this. Didn't you know that I must be about my father's business?
Yeah.
Now, if you look at the life of Christ, his whole life was about his father. Mm-hmm. Didn't you know that I must be about my father's business?
Yeah, him.
His whole life is in submission to his father.
Amen.
In heaven. Okay? Many times he says, as I hear, I judge. He said, whatever my father wants, that I do. He never made his own decisions for life. His father in heaven chose everything that he was going to do, even to the death of the cross. And Jesus said, yes, I'll do that. Yes, I'll do that. That, my friend, is the primary example of obedience in Scripture. Now, it goes on to say, and they understood not the saying which he spake unto them. Because that's a pretty deep thing he just said. Because he's laying the foundation for the rest of his ministry by that one phrase. And it says, and he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was subject unto them. But his mother kept all these sayings in her heart. And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. That's what we want for our kids. We want our kids to increase in wisdom and stature. We want them to be in favor with God, and we want them to be in favor with men. And that only happens as they submit themselves where God wants them to be, if they find their place and they stay there. Amen? Amen. Now, this is the greatest example of submission. Jesus, the Son of God, submitted to his Father in heaven his whole life. It's proven. You can't argue that point. But not only that, he as the Son of God, as the Son of Man, submitted underneath Joseph and Mary.
Yeah. Amen.
Yet he was the very one that made them. He made them. So if you're talking about, well, if I got to submit, then I'm not important. No, if you're not submitting, it's because you're a rebel. You're a rebel. It's not because you're feeling important. Satan said the same thing in the garden. Hey, God knows that when you disobey him, you become like him. See, that was Satan's goal right from the beginning, is to be like God. He didn't like passing by the throne and having all the other angels bow down to God the Father. He wanted them all to bow down to him. So he didn't want to be above God. He just wanted to be like God. Anytime a child chooses not to obey a parent, they're making a decision to be like their parent. Anytime a wife does not want to obey a husband, they're saying, I want to be like my husband. And so forth. That's the structure. And whenever we don't submit the way the Bible says, we become rebellious. And we follow the example of Lucifer himself.
Yeah.
It's a satanic thing. It's interesting. I said this 100 times. The millennial reign, everybody knows their place. Yet there's still sin in the world. Until Satan is loosed again. Then all of a sudden they want to be like Jesus. Then they send the armies back to Jerusalem. Because Satan is the instigator in every rebellion that ever occurs. Everyone, even that child in your home that is rebelling against mom and dad, what is behind that is Satan himself. Satan himself. That is not just a child going his own way. That is a child in disobedience, allowing Satan to manipulate them to follow his example, to be like God. Amen? It's pretty serious, and I hope you don't mind me putting it where it needs to be.
Yeah.
Because that's the only way we're going to stop this nonsense. Amen. And so Jesus was not insignificant. He was not unimportant. He was in his place, and he was in that place so that mankind could be saved and the purpose could be fulfilled. And every husband should be in his place, so that the purpose can be fulfilled. Every wife should be in her place, so the purpose can be fulfilled. Every child should be in their place, so the purpose can be fulfilled. And when the structure is upset, the purpose gets destroyed.
Yeah.
Every time. That's why we need to be in our place. Amen. It's not about who's important, because everybody in God's eyes is equal. And we're made equal in God's eyes. Whether you're a man or a woman, equal, equal, equal. Amen? The only difference is in this structure aspect, so that God can work through the authority to protect everybody right to the bottom of the chain. It's about protection, and it's about purpose. Amen?
Amen.
All right? Notice how it says here, children are to obey in all things. Well, it would be nice if God would just say, in some things, or the things that you like, right? That's what I'll be in. Things I don't like, I won't. Like, who likes to take the garbage out? Who likes to clean up the room? Even us adults cry about that. Amen. Well, it's probably because we weren't whooped enough when we were kids. You know? All includes oneness or a totality or a whole. It's the whole of the matter. And so the Bible is telling us that our children ought to obey all the time.
Yeah.
everything that the parent wants. And we got to be careful because we as parents in this messed up world are going to start giving up some of those areas. Right now, there's things going on in, look at even vaccinations. They're saying a lot of places don't need parental consent. What's all that about? The Bible tells me that a child should obey in all things. You get that? Well, the government has its place, but the home is the home.
Yeah. Amen.
And we've got God's word on it. Amen. Don't put them in a situation where they'll disobey you, or they'll be put in a situation to disobey. The society is setting up our kids to disobey mom and dad. In fact, they're promoting it in many places.
Yeah, amen.
And this is where, as much as you like to be the good citizen, I'm sorry, we have to stand first with the Word of God. First with the Word of God. And if we don't, we are selling out on our Christianity. We are selling out on the truth, and we will not be purposeful in the things that God wants us to do.
Amen.
So in all things. So be careful as you consider your child's life, what they're involved with. There should never be an instructor, a teacher, a coach, anybody that is not going to respect the place of the father in that child's life, or the father and mother in that child's life. And if there's someone in their life that is starting to tell them, it doesn't matter what mom and dad say, you take your child away from that kind of person. Amen? Every time. You don't let them sit in that situation because you are allowing Satan to do his work.
Yeah.
And then don't be surprised when rebellion is stirred up in their heart. Amen? So it says in all things, children obey in all things. A child that wants to do right will obey in all things anyways. You think a child can do that? Children can be pretty disobedient, can't they? I mean, we can be pretty disobedient as parents. Children can be pretty disobedient. But you know, the Bible says even a child is known by his doings.
Yeah,
whether his work be good and whether it be right, or whether it be pure, whether it be right, that even a child has a testimony. So we've got this false idea that until you're older, it doesn't matter what your testimony is. I'm sorry, the Bible says that every child in this room already is known by the things that they do, whether they are a good boy or a bad boy. How many of you young kids want to be a good kid? You gonna raise your hand, sure. Because I'm not going to ask whether you want to be a bad kid. Yeah, I know. You understand that? So that tells me that a child, even placed in a situation where they are allowed to, by those around them, to disobey mom and dad, a good child and one that wants to do right, will choose to obey anyways.
Amen.
Mom and dad.
Yes, sir.
Now, I've heard situations where children have even threatened their parents to call these organizations or these government arms to threaten them, put pressure on them to let them do what they want to do. I'll tell you something, that child is already in rebellion.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Satan has already planted that seed in their heart. You don't let it happen anyways. I met one man, and I don't know if I'd handle it this way. He said his child did that to him. I'm going to call family services. He says, well, then go pack your bags. He says, what do you mean? Well, when they come, they're taking you away. Huh? Well, no, I want the blessing of doing whatever I want, and the blessing, whatever you can do for me. That's how the devil works. He deceives you.
Amen.
There's not a child that's ever gone against their authority that came out of the other end and said, I was glad I did that. Mm-hmm. Everyone regret it. The devil doesn't play fair. His whole goal is to seek and destroy, murder. Excuse me for being blunt, you know. But children can do the right thing.
Amen.
Child does not have to obey when a parent is asking them to disobey the word of God.
Yeah.
Do you understand that?
Amen.
That's not involved in all. Because it goes on to say here, look at the passage. Notice what it says. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. So what this is about is pleasing God. Amen?
Yeah.
So your obedience to sinful things is not going to please God. God is never pleased by us doing anything that is contrary to his word. In fact, the Bible says in Hebrews 10:38, now the just shall live by faith. But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him.
Yeah.
So anybody that disobeys God, he has no pleasure in him. And so a child has a right, if they're offered alcohol or some drug or something, they have a right to say, no, I don't want to do that. I don't think that pleases God.
Yeah. Amen.
Do you think children can actually stand like that? I've seen children do the opposite. I've got testimonies of children 9, 8, 10 years old that were martyred for their faith.
Yeah. Yeah, amen.
They mean the government of the land, the church-run government, said, you renounce Christ or you will die. And these children would stand up and tell these people, I will never renounce Christ. And they were drowned. They were burnt. 9-year-old, 8-year-old kids, how in the world did they get that kind of strength to stand against this type of evil? You know where they got it from? A mom and dad who took this serious.
Yeah, amen. Preach that.
It'll be very difficult for them to get past your convictions of this word of God. Mm-hmm. Amen?
Amen.
But I'll tell you, if you have no conviction, you're making it very difficult for them in the future. We have to stand upon the word of God. We have to teach our children these convictions. And then they need to see them demonstrated. They need to see the reality of our Christian life. And that's what's happening today, I think, with believers is we play the Christian game. We act like a Christian, but we don't have the benefits of God's blessing. Because we're really not submitted in our heart to him. And the children see that. They see that we're not praying. They see that we're not reading the Bible. We're not really following God. And then we keep telling them, oh, do right. And then they get all frustrated with us. They look at us as hypocrites.
Yeah.
Now, that's no excuse for them to not follow God.
Amen.
But we should make it a little bit easier for them to follow God. Amen? Mm. Obedient children are given a promise in the scripture. You kids like promises? You like promises? Good ones? You like blessings? Sure he does. he goes, yeah, give it to me. Ephesians 6, verse 1 says this. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right.
Yeah.
Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise. And what are the promises that are attached to this commandment? All the other ones, no promise. All of a sudden he got to this one for kids. He says, there's a promise here. He says, I promise you that it may be well with thee and that thou mayest live long on the earth. This is a conditional promise. So conditioned upon your obedience to mom and dad, there's two things I'm going to give to you. I'm going to make sure that your life will be well. It'll be well with thee. The second thing, I'll make sure that you live long upon the earth. Well, we say, is that really true? Well, I guess maybe we need to go back to Sunday school. Yes, it is true. It is true. The word well means prosperous. A rebellious child will find that their life will be one disappointment after another. Now, they never come to that conclusion. Maybe they never will because it's always somebody else's fault. But if they'd ever come to themselves and realize it's their fault, they could probably get back on track and let it be well to them again.
Yeah.
But many times people live their whole lives in rebellion against mom and dad. And folks, by the way, just because you rebelled against your parents when got married and started living your life doesn't mean that that rebellion is gone. So you have to acknowledge and repent. I know people that have rebelled against their parents, and then they went on with life, they got married, and they may even got back into a relationship with mom and dad. But their life was still not well. Why? Because they never dealt with the sin. It doesn't go away. Folks, if Satan gets a hook in you, he is not going to let it go unless God makes him let it go. And that takes you going to God for that. Amen?
Amen.
And so, one disappointment after another. Oh, well, it's just the way I was brought up. No. Adam and Eve did some pretty despicable things, and yet they had a perfect environment.
Yeah.
They still brought sin upon the whole world. In fact, they did more damage than your kid could ever dream to do. And yet they came from a perfect environment. Don't use your poor environment as an excuse for your disobedience. That's wicked. That's wicked. You are responsible for your own choices, and you can make a choice to love God and to love the Word of God and to do right. And folks, some of the greatest preachers out there are preachers that have grown up in drunkards' homes, in homes of prostitutes. And these men got right with God. They got hold of this book, and they preached righteousness till the day they died.
Yeah, amen.
It's no excuse.
Yes, sir.
Don't ever look at your family life as a reason why you can't be happy. If you're not happy, there's something wrong with your heart. Something wrong with what you've done with your life. So it set me so free in my life when I realized that whatever has happened to me, God has made me a promise that all things will work together for good to them that love God and are the called according to His purpose. That means if you'll just say, God, I love you. And if you love me, he says, you'll keep my commandments. I want to be obedient to you, and I want to fulfill my calling for my life. Whatever it is you want me to do, I'm going to do it. He says, if that's the heart you have, everything you've ever gone through, as bad as it seems, I'm going to turn that into something good for your life.
Amen.
See, that's what God is telling these children. Hey, you obey me by obeying your parents, it'll be well with thee. But you don't understand my mom and dad. No excuse. I refuse to give you that excuse. I understand there's hurt, unresolved things that need to be dealt with. But never expect someone to give you a stamp of approval on your disobedience because of what you've gone through in your life. Cain, he was the first child of the first family. And the first murderer. I blame mom and dad, you know. Well, you can blame original sin all you want. We still got a way out of it.
Yeah.
He's given us complete reconciliation, complete redemption, complete cleansing, complete forgiveness. In a way where he imputes to you his very righteousness if you want it.
Yeah. Amen.
Amen. There's no excuse. We heard the example of the prodigal son so many times in the scripture. In Luke 15, verse 11, it says, and he said, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. He just thought, I can do better on my own. I'm just going to live by myself. I'm going to take whatever inheritance I have, and I'm just going to go do what I want to do. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living, partying, drinking, having a good old time. See, that's not the way to get blessed. In fact, it was not well with him. And it says, and when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. Because God will do that. He's going to put you in a situation where everything's going to be taken away from you and where you got nothing left.
Yeah.
He's going to put you in a situation where you need stuff. And you don't have it. Amen? And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into the fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. That means he was in such a situation that he was ready to eat the very food that he was feeding the pigs. Boy, this is great. I'm going to go live for myself. Look at my inheritance. I'm going to go party down, man. No, you're going to go eat some pig food. See, that's where a life of disobedience gets you. But he made a promise. Children, you'll obey your mom and dad. It'll be well with you. But you don't, you'll be chewing on pig food. You'll be chewing on, there'll be a famine. But then the Bible says, and when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger. I will arise and go to my father, and I'll say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee. Am I no worthy to be called thy son? Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father, but when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. Wow. You talk about the forgiveness of the father. That's us as parents. Amen. We want them to do right. And we wait for them to do right. But you know, this boy, he had to come to himself. He had to realize, you know what I had before was the right thing. I was a son to a great dad. We had a great life. He took care of us. I was right where I should be. And I threw it all away because I put myself first. And you know, when it came down to it, the father took him back, put his ring on his finger. You know, he was saying, I'm willing to be a servant. I'll even give up my sonship. But the father says, no, you're going to be my son. Wow. See, that's how the Heavenly Father responds to us when we come to him for forgiveness. Amen. And that's how we should be to our children as well. That kind of heart. Well, what a lesson for the children. See, when they came to themselves, when they come to themselves, realize that this command has a promise. And that promise that it may be well with thee. Rebellion will always take everything away from you. So young people, listen to me. Obey your mom and dad. Amen. There's a lot hanging on that. And Satan will deceive you. Then it says that you may live long upon the earth. And so we also know, like it says in James 1:15, that when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Do not err, my beloved brethren. So that means a life of rebellion is leading you to an early death. An early death. You will not live a full life. You will not live full of years. You will lead yourself to death because of your sin. I can't tell you how many people that I have talked to that met their death because their liver was all shriveled up from drinking their whole life. Not doing right, not living in obedience, riotous living. They didn't have to die that day. Now, we talk about how the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh. And we know that the Lord has our death day planned. And you know what? But that doesn't mean that you're going to operate by his plan. You can preempt God's plan. That's why many times the blessing of the God is explained in the Old Testament that they lived full of years. You know, there's a plan for you to have a certain amount of years that God has planned for you to live so that you can fulfill his purpose. But if you reject his purpose and you reject obedience to him, that line gets shortened. And how many people have died too soon? And I'm sorry, I can't stand up at a funeral and say, oh, this is the day that God had chosen for them. No, this is the day that they'd chosen for themselves, because they refused to live the life that God wanted them to live. Abraham lived a life full of years. Job, because of his obedience, God gave him a full life, exactly the amount of years that he had planned. But do not, kids, do not, and some of you adults, you know what? You could be here today. You've been in rebellion to your parents when you grew up. Maybe now you're sitting in church, but you never got it right. You know, you still need to get it right. I did with my parents. I apologized for being ashamed to my dad. And you know, you can use the excuse, well, yeah, they did this. It doesn't matter. You don't apologize for someone else's sin. You're apologizing for your sin. So I don't care how old you are. You can be 60, 70, 80 years old. You still get right if you can.
Amen.
You'll be amazed at the sweetness that will be brought back into that relationship again. But I'm going to tell you something. It's not just going to go away. That's going to dog you till Jesus comes. Get these things right. Look back at your life and say, did I live in disobedience to my parents and just expecting it just to kind of go away when I got married? No, you brought that disobedience into your marriage. And that's why young people and parents, you make sure whoever you allow your children to marry are right with their parents. And if they aren't right with their parents, they're also going to treat your child the same way. Because rebellion is rebellion. It just it fights everything. It's not just against mom and dad. If it's against mom and dad, it'll end up being against husband.
Yeah.
Amen?
Yeah.
So you make sure when you give blessing on marriage that you, is this child right with her mom and dad? Talk to the mom and dad. And that's why that whole thing with marriage, we talk about, do you give your blessing on this marriage? With my son's wedding, I had the privilege of going up. I didn't do the vows or the message, but I could go up at the front. The one thing I said was, who gives their blessing on this marriage? Mom and dad stood up. We do. Oh, that made me feel good. Now, I knew it beforehand. Amen. And I would consider you should know it beforehand as well. Amen. But if the parents don't give their blessing upon that child being married to yours, mom and dad, you should stop that cold. Oh, well, I don't want to. No, you just care about yourself more than them. You just don't want to put yourself in an awkward situation. You need to sacrifice yourself for the good of your child. Sure, they'll blame you. Sure, it'll be your fault. Join the club. Jesus knows that well. Amen. We got to do what's right. Give these guys a chance to start a new life together right with God. You know? Especially when you look at the ultimate end, that your life may be long upon the earth. I want my children to live a long life. I mean, at least the life that God had planned. And I realize there's some missionaries that were killed at 30 years old. But you know, that's as old as God wanted them to be ever since the beginning of time. He had never planned for them to be more than 30 years old. That's a life full of years.
Yeah.
You understand that? But let's not short circuit God's promise. Amen? Amen.
Amen.
And that brings us, parents, to a decision on how to prepare our children for that kind of life of obedience. Now, God expects you to train your kids. Amen?
Amen.
And the Bible says in Proverbs 22, verse 6, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Train means to dedicate. That's why many times in church you'll have a dedication service where the parents are saying, I dedicate our lives to the training of this young person for God's glory. Amen? A child dedication service has a lot more about the parents than the kid. I mean, the result will be seen in the kid. But the commitment is the parents that day. You understand that? It's a child dedication. And so, your child may choose to go the wrong way. Do you understand you could pour your life into your child and teach them all the right things, and they'll still choose to do wrong because of whatever? But all I know is this verse. Train up a child, the Bible says, let me go back there, in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. I can't tell you the testimonies I've heard, even, who is it, Isaac Watts? No, was it Newton? Who wrote Amazing Grace? His name is just slipping me here. Amazing Grace? Newton. John Newton. Right. I keep getting Isaac Newton. I didn't want to say Isaac Newton. All right. Isaac Watts, John Newton, anyways. John Newton was a rebel. His mother was a godly woman. She had invested in her son. She prayed for her son every day when he was away. He actually became a slave trader. He was on a slave ship where he would actually be trading slaves. He was so rebellious. One time, the captain of the ship, before he actually became a captain, threw him overboard. And to get him back in, they harpooned him through his side and they pulled him back in. That's the kind of life this guy lived. One day when the ship, they were going along, they hit a big storm, and the ship was ready to be torn apart. They knew this is it. All of a sudden, in his mind, his mother came to his mind. And he remembered all the prayers his mother made for him. In that moment, John Newton hit his knees, said, God, forgive me. And the storm was calm. He went back and he lived a godly life, wrote Amazing Grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. Parents, you train your kids. You can't always control the outcome. I wish you could. You can't, you know. But all you know is this. Everything that you put in them is in them.
Yeah.
And it may take a storm, but one day God will bring that back. Just stay faithful. Amen. Don't let discouragement about your children's failures keep you from being the people that God wants you to be. Continue. Because everything you've invested is still there. Amen. And you know what? One day it'll come back. So keep praying. Keep praying. Don't give up. The Bible says in 1 Peter 1:24, for all flesh is as grass, and the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withereth and the flower thereof falleth away, but the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word by which the gospel is preached unto you. In other words, there comes a time where every child begins to see the fleetingness of this world. And it's just fading away. And all of a sudden in their mind comes this solid principle that they've been taught that never ends and continues on past death. They say, that's what I need to grab onto. See, after this world gives them what they think they want and they end up in the pig pen, they say, this is not what I was looking for. Amen. A child must never be left to their own choices. There's a philosophy today that say, oh, I let my children choose. That is so wrong. That is so wrong. In fact, it's wicked, and you are destroying your child, and you'll be held accountable.
Yeah, amen.
The Bible says in Proverbs 29:15, the rod and reproof give wisdom, but a child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame. Yep. Shame means to guilt, to put to shame. In other words, if we continue to leave our children, neglect their training, neglect teaching them what they need to know, ultimately, when we see the fruit of our neglect, we will live a life of shame.
Yeah.
Because we drop the ball. Don't live a life like that. Amen. And it's never too late. I mean, you're hearing my voice right now. There's always a time to start. Say, well, my kids are already out of the home. Are you a grandparent? Are they still breathing?
Yeah.
Get it right.
Amen.
I'm supposed to say sorry to my children? Yeah, unless you're full of pride like the devil. Of course you say sorry to your children. Whoever said not to say sorry? You say sorry to your children. If you've neglected them, you haven't done right by them, you go to them and say, I apologize. I should have taught you more. I should have brought you to church. I should have done this. I should have done that. And I apologize. I should have done it better.
Yeah. Hey.
At least then you can move forward. And prepare them for what you now have become. Someone that loves God. And loves His Word. And I'm going to use every opportunity now to influence your life with what God's doing in my heart. Amen.
Yeah.
I had this one family. They told me that their children were rebellious. And they said, we'll let you see our grandkids, but you can't sing songs like Jesus Loves Me. You can't talk about God. What a terrible situation to be in. Now, I don't know what you would do, but I'd take that little child back. Jesus loves me. Shh. You influence them for Jesus.
Yeah.
Don't ever let the devil call the shots. When Moses met the Pharaoh, he didn't let Pharaoh decide what was going to happen. He said, no, this is what God wants. This is what we're going to do. Amen. Don't leave them to their own choices. Now, I know I'm done here and I can't really take much, but I have a couple more points, but I want to explain a principle to you. Now, this thing about being 18 years old, awesome, when I'm 18, I don't need to listen anymore. Well, number one, if that's the way you're thinking, you probably should be listening, amen, because you're not ready yet. You're not ready.
Amen.
Now, this is it. Everybody, when you have a baby, what do? Hold them in your arms. And you take that baby and you have a place for him or her, a little crib, and you put her in that crib or him in that crib, and that's where they sleep. And the crib has got walls. Why did you put the walls on? Hey, let them choose. Let them choose. No, you put a crib with wall, little bars, just like a jail, you know. And you say to that baby, this is where you're staying because I'm what? What are you trying to do? Protect. Protect.
Amen.
The baby can sit there, oh, you just don't want me to have fun. No, I just don't want you to die, you know. You have a different perspective than the child many times.
Yeah.
Amen. That's why the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 12, when the father chastises us, he says, for the moment, chastisement doesn't seem joyous. It doesn't make sense. You're not full of joy because of it. Amen. But you know, as they grow up, you say, hey, they're ready for a bed. You get them a little toddler bed. You put them in that bed. It's not too far off the ground. If they'd roll off, they wouldn't get hurt too bad. No more walls on it. Now they got a room. But they still have walls in the room. They got a door. As they get older and they're showing themselves more responsible, that they listen because they're saying, you say, hey, I don't want you to go over there. Okay, Dad, and they don't go there. Then you say, okay, now you can go over there. And you open up a little more of the house to the kid. Of course, you're taking all your precious stuff off the shelves. Because kids are kids. So what's happening here is, based upon obedience and trust, you keep expanding the boundaries for the child their whole life.
Yeah.
There comes a time when your child is old enough to drive a bike. You get them a little bicycle, and they learn that, and they hit Madeline. She was so disappointed that it didn't stop. You got to hit the brakes. You know? And so what happens is, what you do is say, okay, so what you can do with this bicycle is you can go this far. and on the street. You can go zip around in circles, whatever you want to do. But this is the boundaries that I'm setting for you. Now, what happens if your child gets on that bike and goes to the next block? You take the bike away. Is that mean? No, that's protecting.
Yeah, amen.
Do you understand that? It's all about setting boundaries. Okay, 18-year-old comes along, 18 years, also no more boundaries. Whoa! We didn't just spend our whole life establishing a principle just to allow a little number to come along and wipe it all out.
Mm-hmm.
You got a son, 16, gets a car. Dad, how far can I take this thing? This is how far. And you let them drive in town. You let them go here. You let them go there. They're obedient. They're showing to you. They're staying within the boundaries. They're obedient. They're doing what you say. Say, hey, what would stop me at 18 to allow them to take a trip to wherever? They've proven themselves obedient. Amen? Now, the Bible says, for this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and shall cleave unto his wife. And they two shall be one flesh. You know that really, that marriage is the only thing that breaks that particular principle. When you get married, you now leave. And now you start your own family structure where you got to now pay for all of your disobedient things you did when you were a kid. And you say, oh, I should listen to Dad. You know what I mean? You reap what you sow, right? That's how another family structure gets set up. Father to the Lord, wife underneath the husband, children underneath. Grandparents can come visit, spoil, candy, all that stuff. They can walk away and go, bloop. No responsibility. Amen? But that structure, they're on their own. But this 18-year-old, I'm 18, I'm a man. You're a man, prove it. Quit ye like men, the Bible says.
Yeah. Amen.
Men are those that know how to follow God.
Amen.
Follow the principles of Scripture. Okay, you're 18 years old, you're such a man? Sure. I want to get my own apartment. Okay, maybe not the smartest thing in the world, but son, we'll let you get that apartment because you've been showing that you are smart. You are obedient. Also in the apartment, I'm free. I'm going to party. Dad walks in. Son, this isn't right. You got to come back home. Is that a wrong thing to ask? Any father that loves that child will say, we need to get you out of this situation. You need to be protected again because you don't have the ability right now to make the right choices.
Yeah, amen.
If they stay underneath your obedience. Amen? So just wipe that 18-year-old number out of there. I understand with the government, they can vote, they can go to jail, all these other things. You had 18 years old. But you know what? With God, he doesn't look at 18 years old and say, oh, now you're a man. Now you don't need anybody leading you. You always need someone leading you.
Yeah. Amen. Amen.
When we have a marriage and a wedding, the father of the bride walks the bride up to the front. The bride's arm is in the arm of the father. We say, who gives their blessing upon this marriage? And that moment, this new whippersnapper, the groom, comes down, and the father takes the arm of his daughter and the arm of this new son-in-law and puts these arms together. And he backs up. That's the moment that the daughter no longer needs to obey her father. Still needs to honor him, but now she needs to obey her husband. See, there was never a time where that daughter didn't have a protector. I'm the protector till now. Now, son, you're her protector. You better protect. And you make sure he's a protector before the day of the wedding.
Yeah.
If he's not a protector, then you are sinning against your daughter, letting her marry that man. You understand that? And you're wiping out all the work you've done. See, that's how structure works. That's what authority is about. It's not about who's the boss. In fact, being the boss is not as fun as you think it is.
Amen.
Just what is your place? Whatever your place is, thank God you're there. Use it as a platform to do everything God wants you to do, and let him build you there and use you for your children, whoever's in your realm of influence, and continue being in your place till Jesus comes. And when he sees you, he's going to say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." Amen. Children, don't go your own way. You're wrong. And you know what? If you're older here today, you say, "Well, I've kind of gone on my own." Can I tell you something? You're never on your own because you carry your Father's name.
Yeah, amen.
And a good name is rather to be chosen than great riches, and loving favor than silver and gold. So you may be here and your dad isn't here, but you are honoring him by the way you live your life. And he's looking at you and saying, I'm glad I opened up those boundaries. I'm glad I let you have that space where you can serve and glorify God. But if you're using that space for your flesh, you probably should go back. You should probably go back and say, "Dad, I need to learn some more because I'm not doing right." You understand that? Or you will be like the boy in the pig pen. It won't be well with thee, and your life will not be long. Two promises. Amen. Let's bow.